Welcome to the Anthem Church Podcast. Our desire is to transform lives through authentic experiences with God and with people. This message is brought to you from Anthem Church in Fairview, Oregon. We pray you are encouraged, inspired, and strengthened through the teaching and preaching of God's Word.
Continue our series, Life After Death, and if you're new today, we're spending the next few weeks talking about eternity, and we're answering the question, we're looking at the Bible and answering a very loaded question: what happens to us when we die, after we die, right? Now, in order for us, I said it last week, for that question to be answered in full, you got to hear all the messages. You know, you got to hear all the messages because each message answers a particular question. They all kind of, we answer that question in steps. And so last week we talked about the reality that we all will die one day. How many of us know that's a reality? We'll all die one day. But we are made for eternity, and we will spend eternity somewhere. And the main idea is this, that Jesus defeated death for you and I. So we have two choices. We either let death destroy you, or Jesus destroys death for you. Amen. The Bible describes that when we are followers of Jesus, death doesn't swallow us up. Life swallows us up. Amen. So today I want to talk to you on the subject of heaven. Last week they talked about the reality that eternity is real, that eternity is real. Today I want to talk to you about heaven. Next week, I'm going to talk to you about the other place. How many of us are going to come next week? I'm telling you, man, I'm going to just say this right now. That subject on hell is the most frightening thing, but the most hope-filled message as a follower of Jesus. I'm telling you right now. Next week, don't just let Sunday fly by. I encourage you, bring a friend, bring a family member, because no matter whether they're a Christian or a non-Christian, if they have questions on the afterlife, they got to hear it. They got to hear the message of Jesus Christ, because it's good. Amen. I want to encourage you to do that, because here's the deal. We're going to focus. Yeah, we've been talking about eternity, but we're focusing on what really matters. And what really matters is some really, really, really good news. So if you're taking notes, I want you to write this on your piece of paper for your title. It's not what, but who. Not what, but who. You can even put in not where. Because a lot of times we say, oh, heaven and hell, we focus on eternity, and that's awesome, but we forget the who, Jesus, amen? And so we've got to put our sights on that. So we're going to talk to you on not what, but who. Let me pray, and we'll jump right in. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity today as we celebrate fathers, as we get to celebrate you too, and just be here. Our hearts are open. Our hearts are open. Would you speak to us? Teach us today. Father, your word says that your Holy Spirit teaches us all things. So God, I just want to remove myself out of the equation and allow you just to speak. As we open up your word, would you teach us and show us exactly what really matters in the name of Jesus. Everybody says amen and amen. Everybody put your hands together for Allie. It's a tradition to put our keyboardist on blast in the youth ministry. So that was just the tradition. She just left. She's like, I'm out of here. I'm never coming back. All right, have you ever thought about, like, where is the greatest place on earth? Have you thought about that? Really, like, where is the greatest place? I know that's relative. It really depends on what you like and what you like to do. Some would say, the greatest place on earth is my office, right? You just go and retreat to your office. Or some would say, the greatest place on earth is Disneyland. Why? Because Disneyland is the happiest. Regina, have you ever been to Disneyland? It is the happiest place on earth. Have you ever just stood at Disneyland and just listened to the music play? You'd be like, it's the happiest place on earth. It's pretty creepy. But it is! How many of us have ever been to Disney World? Regina, Disney World. Two of us are like, ugh. Okay, it's not. All right. So I thought to myself, okay, has to be a greatest place on earth. Even if, you know, again, we can argue where it could be the greatest place on earth, but we can all agree that there are some beautiful, beautiful places on earth. Like, check this out. This is called the Aogashima Volcano. Look at this. That is just beautiful. Look how magnificent. That's a beautiful place. That is real life. Check out this place. This is called Chittagong Fort in India. Look at that. I could just drink that water. That's just There's a place called Santorini, Greece. Check this out. Look how beautiful that is. Gosh, it's amazing. What about the Panjin Red Beach in China? That's a real place. Like, I just want to run through that. Have you ever been in Yosemite National Park? Richard, have you ever been there? Look at this in the wintertime. That is just beautiful. It's just, like, amazing. Somebody say amazing. It's amazing. There's another place called Solar de Iuna in Bolivia. Look at that. That is beautiful. That's a famous picture, actually. That's water just sitting on land. And it's just, like, reflecting the sky. That's just, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. Another place, on beautiful place on Earth would probably be, one of the greatest places on Earth would probably be, Autzen Stadium. Have you ever been to Autzen Stadium at night? Have you ever watched the game at night? Have you been there when it rains? Oh, it's the coolest. It never rains in Autzen Stadium. It's true. It's true. It's beautiful. We all have places that we consider our favorite, right? We all have places that we can think in our mind is our favorite place. Someone say church, or someone say their office, or someone say their backyard, a place where they retreat. And they all have a reason why they're our favorite, because the reasons are because there are things, there are characteristics, there are memories, there are experiences that are associated with those places. Now, what I want to do today, I want to talk about heaven today. I want to look at what makes that place awesome. Every religion has something. I said it last week. Every religion has something that they believe in when it comes to death and the afterlife. In Buddhism, they have the Eightfold Path. You live, you die, and then you cease to exist. Hinduism, you live, you die, and then you get to do it all over again, right? Muslims believe that you die and you appear before Allah, and you're judged based on what you did good, or your good works, or what you did good on earth. Christians, followers of Jesus, we believe that when you step into eternity, you go to a place called heaven, or the other place. See, as a follower of Jesus Christ, when you close your eyes to this life and you open it up to the next, you will spend the rest of eternity in heaven. Come on, is that hope? According to scripture, there are specific things that we already know when it comes down to what heaven is like. In Revelations, it describes that there are pearly gates or pearled gates and streets of gold. Now, I can't really conceive that in my mind. I mean, I can get a picture and I can speculate what that would be like, but I can't really conceive. I can't really go, whoa, that, okay, I can see it, right? Because we live in a world where there's poverty. We live in a world where there's lack. And God is like, and I love this, God is like, look, man, my economy is nothing you've ever seen before. So you know what? Let's pave the streets with gold. Well, that's a little wasteful. No, because you have finite thinking. It's wasteful because you have finite thinking when we need to understand that. And this is great because the blessed life, we're talking about the blessed life, you can't outgive God. There's no lack in heaven. Amen? There's no lack in heaven, and I love that. So gold streets, oh my goodness, wow. And so I love that. And this proves to me, this proves just how much God values eternity and how much he values the next life that he wants for you and I. The Bible also describes that there's water as clear as crystal. Like the water you drink, you know, Fiji water has nothing on. Heaven's water, it just blows it out of the water. That's so redundant. I was trying to curve my way through that, but the Bible also describes that there are walls built with jasper and rubies. Goodness. It also describes in Revelation chapter 21 that there's no sickness or disease or ailments, meaning there's no cancer, there's no Alzheimer's, there's no AIDS. People who lived in wheelchairs will be walking or floating. That would be cool. But one of the greatest things found in heaven is found in a prophecy in the book of Ezekiel chapter 48. And let me preface this again before we read it. In our minds, in our own imagination, we can't even dream up of half of what heaven is like. It is perfection. And we can't even describe it with our own words, because what we've only seen are things that are built by man's hands. Even the best of the best, yet some of the best of the best, some are still imperfect because it's built by human hands. See, what God creates, it's perfect. So it will be difficult to comprehend heaven. We may speculate, but we can't really, because we've never seen anything like it. And I thank God every single day that one day, as a follower of Jesus, I get to experience that. Because it's comforting to know that when someone closes their eyes to this life and opens it up to the next, they're not stepping into some obscure place or some place beyond their, you know, this little myth. They're not going to just step into this weird thing over here, planet. They're not doing that. We get to step into a place built by the perfect hands of God. And I said this last week, and you write this down. We get heaven. We get heaven, not because of anything we've done or are going to do, but because of everything Jesus had done. And so when I read Ezekiel chapter 48, I realized that I focused on some wrong things when it comes to heaven for many years. I did. Streets of gold, great. Water like crystal, awesome. No sickness, no disease. Walls with jewels in it. And as I prepared this message on what heaven is like, I had to stop myself because I was going all over here with it, what it looks like, what it feels like, things and all these little things that, and I just stopped for a second. I said, whoa, wait a second. Ezekiel 48 changes everything. The greatest thing about heaven is this, verse 35. And the name of that city from this time on will be the Lord is there. Heaven will be perfect, not because what is there, but who is there. The streets of gold, no disease, the crystal water, all products of perfection that surrounds who is there. Heaven is perfect because Jesus is there. If you stripped away everything that we know about heaven, and the only thing that was in heaven was Jesus, it would still be the most perfect place in the universe. It will still be perfect because it is He that makes heaven amazing. Here's three promises. Real quick, three promises about the place of heaven. Three promises. Number one, write this down. We will be in awe. We will be amazed. I remember I was talking to someone and we were discussing some questions that were just hard to answer. Ever had those moments, right? Ever had those moments where it was hard to answer, right? My daughter hit me with the question, dads. She hit me with the question. Where does babies come from? Just hit me with it. Bow. I was like, whoa. And she goes, I said, where do you think it came from? She goes, when you get married. I was like, oh, okay. I backed away from that real quick. I said, oh, let me just step back real quick. Yeah, believe that. Yes. But we had these conversations, and we had, I remember I was in a conversation with some people, and it was a question, and we really had to take time to search these answers, search this question, or search this this thought. And it was about heaven. And I remember sitting there, and I was talking to this person, And I had said this, and when I said it, I kind of stopped. I kind of froze because it made me think about a few things. And I asked this question. I said, you know what? When I get to heaven, ooh, I'm going to ask Jesus some questions. Imagine if you ever said that. Ooh, when I get to heaven, I'm going to be like, hold on, Jesus, I got a question. What about this, 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 and this? And this, 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 and this, and this, right? How many of us did it, right? How many of us have ever said that? I'm going to grab Adam by the neck. Ooh, Adam, what's up? Right? I've always thought that. But I thought to myself, would I really say that? Because the only honest question that I will have, in my opinion, and I think all of us would have, would be this question. What the heck am I doing here? If you really, really think about it, you'll say, I don't deserve this place. Why am I here? And then you'll stop, and you'll see Jesus, and you'll go, you're amazing! You are fantastic! Because that's one thing that we will finally understand once we get to heaven, that when Jesus is there, when Jesus is the center of anything, write it down, it will be amazing. It is our one and only response, amazement. Ever been amazed? Raise your hand if you've ever been amazed. Any basketball fans? Raise your hand if you're a basketball fan. Any dunk, like NBA dunk contest fans? Two of us. Okay. That's okay. That's all right. I'm a big basketball fan, and I love the dunk contest during the All-Star weekend. And there was a period of time, about a seven-year period of time, where it was just like, I'm not watching it because it is terrible, right? Literally, the NBA was like, you know, we're not gonna do the NBA. They were thinking about actually canceling the dunk contest until the year 2000 happened. And a guy by the name of Vince Carter stepped into the scene. And I'm just gonna show you a video because he was doing stuff that people were like, he's not human. People were at amazed. They didn't have words to describe what they were witnessing. So I'm going to show you. If you didn't see it, I'm just going to show you what happened.
Gonna catch it, put it between his legs, and dunk it.
It's over. Yeah, that boy, good. Anybody remember seeing that? I remember witnessing that, and I remember watching it going, did he just put his arm in the hoop? Who does that? Vince Carter does it. And I remember, yeah, I think that same year it was in the Olympics, he dunked over a 7-footer. I don't know if you guys, okay, just look it up. But we were amazed. Those moments where I was watching it going, right? Ever been amazed before? Sometimes we can miss some amazement too. I remember I was at, my brother-in-law invited me to an event at Nike, and I love it. So I was like, Nike, I'm there. So I get there, and we're at the campus, and there's this shoe that was released, and some cleats and stuff, and I was just so focused on the shoes, because you know me, I was like, oh my gosh, shoes. And I can remember feeling right behind me, there was this large crowd walking behind me. And just a lot of commotion, but I was still focused on the shoes. And Art's like looking at me, and he's like, yo, look, dude, like, look. Look behind you. And I turned around, and by the time I could actually catch who it was my favorite football player ever. It was Jerry Rice. And he walks past me, and I can see his bald head. And I was like, Jerry. Jerry. I missed it. I wasn't aware that he was there. I was distracted. You know, sometimes that happens to us, especially as followers of Jesus. We can get so distracted with things around us that we are not aware of Jesus or what Jesus is doing. Listen, if you're not aware of Jesus, you cannot be amazed by Jesus. See, having the hope of heaven in your hearts, it should burn within you. It should awaken something on the inside of you. And here's why it doesn't. Because you're not aware of Jesus. See, the hope of heaven becomes electric because you know who's there. Heaven is going to be a place where Jesus is going to be the center of everyone's affection, emotion, and attention. And that's what makes heaven better, when Jesus is at the center. Because when Jesus is at the center, everything is better. You want your marriage to be better? Put Jesus at the center. You want your dating relationships to be better? Hello. Put Jesus at the center. You want your financial situation to get better? Put Jesus at the center. When you put Jesus at the center, everything is better. You get heaven on earth. Heaven is not heaven if Jesus is not the center. If you get to heaven and Jesus is not the center, you're not in heaven. Okay? You want heaven on earth. You want heaven in your life. You want heaven in your home. You want heaven in your marriage. Put Jesus in the center. He brings it with him. Amen? You get heaven in your finances. Remember, heaven's economy is not like the world. The world's economy does not translate or transfer to heaven's. In heaven, there is no lack. Come on, I want heaven in my checkbook. Hello. I want heaven in my financial planning. I want heaven in my business ventures. So when I put Jesus in the center, what do I get? I get heaven. I get the blessed life. Why? Because Jesus is the sole focus. And Jesus is the sole focus in heaven. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said, hey, if you're going to pray, pray like this. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus is going to be the sole focus when we get to heaven. Amen? So my question for you today is he the sole focus for you right now? Amen? I said this last service, I really believe there's going to be a lot of Christians going to get to heaven. And they're going to go, whoa, this is amazing. And Jesus is going to walk up to them. And they're going to go, who are you? And Jesus is going to be like, I'm Jesus. You know, no big deal. And he's going to say, hey, you could have had all of this in your marriage if you would have just spent some time with me. But you get it, though. You have it. And we're going to miss it. Currently, are you with me? You can have a little bit of heaven. I'm telling you, you might be new to church. You may be a new Christian. I'm telling you, if you take 5 to 10 minutes of your life, of your day, and your day to focus on the person and the work of Jesus Christ, you can have a little bit of heaven on earth. You know another reason why we're not amazed at Jesus? It's because of his people. Listen, if you're here and you're not a Christian, that's okay. Welcome home. Our prayer is not our prayer is that you meet Jesus. He's awesome. But you don't have to, because you don't have to believe to belong. You belong because Jesus is here. And so maybe you're here and you can't stand the thought of God, or you can't stand the thought of church or even heaven or just this talk about Jesus. Well, maybe because you've been hurt by some Jesus followers. Listen, we're all human, and humans can hurt other people. They cause pain, Christian or not. People have issues. People can be hypocritical. People can be unloving, right? But you cannot judge Jesus based on your experiences with people who follow him, because Jesus is so much better than all of our good put together. Amen? And I have to say this too. People, listen, don't judge all Christians just because you had a bad experience with a few. There are some quality human beings who follow Jesus with all their heart, and they really, really care about people. They really, really love people, because the closer you get to Jesus, the more like him you become, right? And when people become closer to Jesus, it authentically transforms you, and you become full of grace, compassion, and love, seek righteousness, and they actually pray that many would come to know this same man named Jesus that saved them too. So we have to know him for ourselves and be amazed by who he is. Jesus, 100% God, 100% man, born of a virgin, started his ministry at 30 years of age, ministered for 3 years, crucified on a Roman cross for the sins of the world. A Roman cross millions feared, and where thousands of people were actually crucified, but only one lived to tell about it. And his name is Jesus, because 3 days later, he rose again from the grave and came back to win it all. That's why I follow Jesus. Not because of what he said, but because of what he did. Listen, the resurrection is the reason that followers of Jesus follows Jesus. Let's just clear the air. It's not for what he gives you. It's because of what he's done. And what he did was he punched death in the face for you and I. Amen? Amen. John 14, 1 through 3, look what it says. It says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Okay, Jesus said, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. Other translations says mansions. If there were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? Let's stop there for a second. Look what it says. Say this with me in the yellow. Say it says, to what? To prepare a place for you. Heaven is a place prepared for you. A perfect place. And then he says, and if I go prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Now that's a promise that we can stand on, that heaven is prepared for you and I. And when we get there, we will be amazed in his presence. Now before I move on, I got to ask you a question. Has there been anything this week that has distracted your attention from Jesus, that has pulled your soul focus from him? Any circumstances, any situations, anyone? Hello? Because sin is just a byproduct of us removing our attention off of Jesus and onto other things. You know, Satan doesn't really want you to do bad things. He's not out there going, I'm going to make you do bad things. No, he just wants you to get your soul focused off of Jesus. You know, we can actually do good things and still get our focus off of Jesus, which is sin. Because if he can take your eyes off Jesus, he can steer us in any direction. So is there anything that's taken your eyes off of Jesus? Then today is a fantastic day to get refocused back on him. Amen? Amen. So number one, we will be amazed when we get to heaven. Number two, we will be aware. We will be aware. Somebody say aware. We'll be aware. Aware of what? A couple months ago, I had a friend call me up, and he said, "Hey, I want to let's hang out. Let's go get some lunch." I said, "Cool. I got some folks with me. Is that okay? We just roll together. Cool. Let's do it." So we meet up at Edgefield McMenamins, and we get there. We all sit down. We meet each other. We talk, and he said, "Fellas, listen. It's on me." Ever had somebody say that to you? And you're like, "Oh, is it?" You pull out the whole menu. Because you know, when you're paying for it, you're just like looking at one side, the appetizer's like, "Hey, is it half off today? No, it's not? Okay." I was like, "Oh, I get to open the whole menu, right?" At one of those moments, I was like, "Hallelujah," right? And so we open it up and we're having a good time, and he says, "Hey, it's on me." It's like, great. And so the bill comes out, and I looked at, you know, he's trying to look at the bill. I look at it, right? And I looked at it, and I was like, "Oh! Huh?" And the guy was like, "I got this." I said, no, you don't have to do that. And my friend, the friend that was there, he was like, no, he can do that. He got it. You got it, right? He got it. I was like, you're wrong for that. He got it. You're wrong for that one. He got it. Oh, man. But one of the other guys, you know, he paid for it, and we were at a great time. He says, "Man, you're one of the most generous people I know." And I said, "Yeah, he's a generous person." Now, I had people pay for things before, but this was different. This was different. Because I thought about him in this moment for a few days after. This guy paid a price so that others can have joy. Then I thought about Jesus. I thought about Jesus, how he paid a debt for our sins. That number one, we couldn't pay. And number two, a payment that we didn't deserve. Because everyone was born sinful. Everyone was separated from God. Everyone has done things that we regret and feel guilty about. Everyone has experienced hurtful things from others and have done hurtful things that created sorrow and pain. And we carry that sorrow and that pain and that guilt. But Jesus hung on the cross for our sins, for our sorrow, for our pain, and he took that for us. "Well, Pastor Stephen, I have a lot of pain." Well, Jesus can take that from you. "Well, Pastor, stuff has happened to me when I was a child, and I carry a lot of those things." Wait. Jesus can take that from you. Even my regret, yeah, he can take that too. All the regret, all the stuff you did that you're not proud of, all the stuff that others has done to you, all the sorrow, all the pain, Jesus says, "I will take that from you." What does this have to do with heaven? See, when we get to heaven, we will fully understand the price that Jesus paid to get us there. My daughter did some fantastic things in school. One day she brought this thing, and she got like the prize box, and because she brought her homework, and she was all excited, and I was like, "Yay." I said, "Let's go to the mall and let's go buy something." She said, "Okay." So we go to the mall, and I said, "Where do you want to go?" She goes, "Let's go to Claire's." You guys know where Claire's, you know what Claire's is? I love Claire's. Look at it. She said, "I love Claire's." That lady, who said that? Was that Crystal? Lydia? Queen Lydia was, "I love Claire's." And I didn't know, you know, when you walk through there, I didn't know that things are expensive in that room. So I said, and I made the mistake, "Dad, you know what this mistake I made?" I said, "Honey, get anything you want." No. And it was like a movie. Like, I said it while she was facing the other direction, and she turned around and she said, "Anything?" I said, "Where'd that voice come from?" "Anything, Father?" And that was the moment I knew I made a mistake. I said, "Yeah?" With a question mark, you know, "Yes?" She said, "Okay." She walked over to the most expensive thing in the room. It was like this necklace. It was just like, oh, it was like in a glass case. It was like alarms. It was like shooters. Like, it was just, "Why that one?" She goes, "Because I want it." "Because you want it?" "Yes, Daddy." I was like, "God, no." I said, "No, we're not getting it." She doesn't understand price yet. She doesn't understand the word expensive. She just sees it and wants it, right? Sometimes we don't understand the price that Christ paid. I know you've been a Christian all the time, but a lot of times we really don't understand. And the beautiful thing about being a follower of Jesus is that we don't have to carry that price that he paid ever. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5:21. Look what Paul writes. "For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be what? The offering for our sin, that we could be made right with God through Christ." So this points to how awesome Jesus is and just how valuable you and I are to him. See, value is measured by the price that someone is willing to pay for. Jesus believes that you are valuable, and he's so generous that he'd lay down his life and die for all the sin and all the sorrow and all the guilt and all the pain that you carry, and then put a cherry on top, create the perfect place in eternity to spend with him called heaven. You are valuable to him. You might be in a room today. There's never been a moment. Maybe you grew up and you never heard that before. You never heard mom or dad says, I love you. Or you never heard mom or dad says, I'm so grateful for you. Or you never heard mom or dad really value you. But you need to hear this today. At the hope of heaven, you need to know that God created a perfect place for you. And that's how valuable you are to him. So number one, we'll be amazed. Number two, we'll be in awe. And number three, write this down. We will all celebrate. We will all celebrate. We'll be amazed. We'll be aware. And we'll all celebrate. Basically, it's going to be one big everlasting party. Anybody like to party? Raise your hand if you like to party. Well, P.S., I'm an introvert. No, you like to party. You go to parties, you just sit in the corner and you just watch people. Don't talk to me. Everybody likes to celebrate. Everybody likes to party. Everybody do. They do. I love to party. I love to celebrate. And the truth is, the world loves to party. The world loves to celebrate. And they celebrate mostly everything. We celebrate mostly everything. We celebrate music. We celebrate movies. I mean, whenever a Star Wars come out, what do? They just get dressed up. They wait in line for 8 hours just to get in the movie. At midnight. They do, it's weird. Everybody celebrates, we all celebrate. Celebrate sports team winning championships. We celebrate the Super Bowl, right? I mean, it is a national holiday now, right? Any Patriot fans in here? Boo. Any Seahawks fans? Boo, should've ran the ball. Any Falcons fans? Oops. We all celebrate, we celebrate these things. We celebrate the Super Bowl, we celebrate national championships. We celebrate graduations. We celebrated that last week and all of our graduates. It was awesome. We celebrate birthdays. I celebrated a birthday on Friday. We celebrate Father's Day. We just celebrate. We just party. This is what we do. We celebrate. I remember when my daughter, when she first pooped in the toilet, we celebrated. She was like, yeah, bloop. I was like, yay, yay. And I left going, why are we cheering poop right now? This is, my life has changed. My life has changed. My son is at the point where he just learned the word yay. Oh, he learned oh too. It's like, oh, like, I was like, Mike, it's over there. She goes, oh, that's the coolest thing. But he says yay all the time now. So we can say, let's get your shoes. Yay. Come on, let's go upstairs. Yay. Wanna go bye-bye? Yay. Right? It's crazy. We celebrate everything. People celebrate. We celebrate. The world celebrates. Here's my concern. My concern as the church, we let the world out celebrate us. And that's a problem. Now, you know what I'm saying? Like we get in the church like this. I don't like this song. Right? I think we don't celebrate because we're not aware. We're not amazed. But we let the world out celebrate us, don't we? We do, let's be honest. And I'm not leaning on you. I am kind of leaning on you Christians. Because we do, we let the world out celebrate us. And that's a problem because everything that the world celebrates is temporary. But what the church gets to celebrate is eternal. In 100 years, it won't matter who won the Super Bowl. It won't. It won't matter what Star Wars movie came out, what Jordans came out last Saturday, sometimes maybe. Maybe. But it won't matter. It won't matter who won a Grammy last year. It won't matter who what album hit number one. But what happens here today and what Jesus does in your heart will matter 1,000 years from now. It will matter now and it'll matter in eternity. And that's why we celebrate now and forever. Why? Write this down. Why? Because we have a reason to celebrate. See, what Jesus does matter. What happens here matters. And that's why we celebrate and we cheer when one person, no matter the age, no matter the color, no matter how much money they got in their pocket, when one person says yes to Jesus, we celebrate. Why? And here's why. I celebrate because I know that Jesus took sin and death for me, and he prepared a place in heaven for me. And I realize that he's done that for you too. He's done that for the next person. And so when somebody says yes to we celebrate. It should burn in your heart, Christian. It should burn. And if it doesn't, Christians, if it doesn't, has Christ done the same for you? Have you invited him in your heart? Because if he really did, you would burn. Why? Because he is the sole focus of heaven in there, up there, and he's the sole focus of heaven in here. And when he's the sole focus, it drives you. So that's why we celebrate. So why do you celebrate so much? Because we have reason to. Why not? We are alive. At Anthem Church, we are alive in our celebration. We don't serve a dead God. Jesus is alive. He is well. He is moving. And he is winning. And when we celebrate, we're just celebrating exactly what the angels are celebrating in heaven. Jesus, life, grace, love, each other. Listen, you want heaven on earth? Let's celebrate what Jesus has done. And that is my prayer for Anthem Church. My prayer is that we will reflect heaven, that we will never miss an opportunity to celebrate with God what God has done. We will invite others to celebrate with us because heaven isn't about me. It's not about me, it's about Jesus and his relentless pursuit of every person because he desires all men to be saved. So we hope for heaven by celebrating. We bring heaven on earth by celebrating that Jesus paid it all. The Bible also says, we don't have time to read it, but the Bible also says that all will gather to celebrate. All, someone say all. All colors, all languages, all tribes, all with one thing in common, that Jesus paid it all. And the only way that heaven will be average for you, which doesn't make any sense because how can something be perfect but average? But the only way it'll be average for you is that you haven't dealt with your racism. You haven't allowed Jesus to take away your prejudices. You're apathetic towards the broken. You don't like people that are different than you. It's going to be average for you because heaven is a colorful tapestry of grace, love, and perfection, and we will all celebrate together. So why not celebrate now? Write this on your piece of papers. Our last thought. Heaven will be perfect, not because of what is there, but who is there. Father, we thank you for your word today. And I pray that you'd shake us. So that the hope of eternity would burn in our hearts. Let it burn. Let it burn on the inside of us, God. That now and forever we will be amazed. Now and forever we will be aware. And right now and forever, we will celebrate. Jesus, just let it burn on the inside of us, God. Let it awaken in our hearts, Jesus. never get comfortable just having church. Pray you would make us uncomfortable. Thank you, God, that the hope of heaven is a responsibility. That we run this race not for what is there, but for who is there. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for joining us. We are located at 1415 Northeast 223rd Avenue in Fairview, Oregon. You can find us online at www.anthemfamily.org and on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at My Anthem Family. God bless.